So this is Contribute Weekend. If you are just joining us for the day, this is a little bit different from normal weekends. We're going to be talking about how you can be a part of all the great things that God is calling us into. And you know, Bayside, I'm just really kind of reminding you a little bit of a few things, because you know what? We've got this. Guys, we have so got this. We got it. We've got it. We've been hearing this message and we've got it. But you know, there's little things sometimes that we just need to be reminded of. Just seeing Peter Kinross here today, good to have you after your surgery. Amazing thing happened in the prophetic presbytery debrief yesterday. One of the ladies who had never, she said, I've never prayed for Peter Kinross before, never prayed for him since, and I prayed for him last week, and I saw a picture of his shoulder. And anyway, it turns out he's had I hope you don't mind me telling everybody, it's a bit late now, Peter. He's had something removed, like I think the size of a golf ball, he'll tell you the details, removed from his arm. But isn't that awesome to know that even though the people here don't necessarily know you, they're flowing with what God is telling them to do and praying as the Spirit leads? I just think that's awesome. Like, God is for us. He is totally on for us. He is never off. There is no shadow of turning with him. He doesn't have a bad day. He's a good God. And his plans for you are good. So the theme scripture of this year is Galatians 6, verse 10. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Have a look around at the people sitting next to you. These are some of the people that we need to use our gifts to benefit. Now, some of them might not be here today, but the ones that are around you are a good starting place. When you're talking with them this morning at coffee, think about how you can benefit them. How can you build their faith? How can you encourage them in the Lord? So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. I love the way the message puts it. I'm a great fan of the Holman Bible. I love the Holman Bible and normally read it. But on this 40 days of less, I'm reading the message just to change things up a little bit, just to get another view. And I love that. Do not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all. Oh, great. We've got some people listening in the front row and one or two in the back. It's good. The benefit of all, not just for the benefit of you, not just so you feel happy about serving. It's for serving is about the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us. I love this quote. Perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you already did. Perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of the hard work you already did. How many people can relate to that? I'll tell you what, being a mom is an exercise in perseverance. Being a wife is an exercise in perseverance. I can say it, my husband's not here. Being a pastor is an exercise in perseverance. And you're all here and you've heard it. We all have to persevere in different ways, but none more than the Apostle Paul. I mean, do you ever get to the place where you feel as if you really want to make a difference? You've tried so hard over and over again, and yet you seem to get absolutely nothing in return. Do you ever feel like that? Yeah, we got a couple of murmurs from here. Do you ever feel that you just want to give up? Anybody ever feel like that? Have you ever done something over and over again that you know is kind and good, but now you're tired and you just want to give up? Yeah, I mean, any of you who heard my press pause message, I just said, you know, sometimes I just get tired of being nice. Sometimes the unsanctified part of me just gurgles up and goes, like it, but you know, that's because I am human. I am fully human. You know, somebody said to me one day, Christy, if you weren't a pastor, what would you do? And I said, oh, that's really easy. And they said, oh, you've thought about it? I said, absolutely.
Sorry.
Absolutely. I'd be a cleaner. They looked at me in total surprise. I said, yeah, absolutely. Because when you clean, you get into the groove and you start, you know, making a difference. And it's really fast. And then you get out the power tools of cleaning and, you know, you get the gumption in and you start to see things sparkle and everything smells nice and everything feels nice. And people walk into your home and instantly they feel something has changed and shifted and life is good. It gives you a result really quickly. Pastoring, on the other hand, is like this. Because you could work for 20 years until someone says, I remember you said that. Perseverance is the hard work you do after the hard work you've already done. Think about it. Cleaning is good. Get yourself fully mindfully into cleaning the next time. See it as an act of mindfulness and meditation. Do not see it as the chore it is, because honestly, you will be translated into a new realm where you will see things that you never saw before simply because your mind is fully engaged in a task. It requires all your effort and all your creative juices will come out and you will see the answers to all your problems. I promise you, men, you should really consider this. On a more serious note, Nelson Mandela, an incredible man who knew what it meant to persevere, who knew what it meant to keep going after things were already difficult. There's a lot to tell about his story, but I just want to hone in for a minute on his time in prison. Nelson Mandela was incarcerated on Robben Island for 18 of his 27 years in prison. During this time, he contracted tuberculosis and as a black political prisoner received the lowest level of treatment from prison workers. However, while incarcerated, Mandela was able to earn a Bachelor of Law degree through a University of London correspondence program. If you read Mandela's biography, which is called A Long Walk to Freedom. I did know that, but I was just checking you were with me. You know, you've got to keep you coming along. Irish people talk with each other. You know, there's a little bit of something going on between them. They don't just, like, sit. Anyway, he says, after climbing a great hill, one only finds that there are many more hills to climb. Those of us who've been around for a little while, is that true or not? Once you climb one hill, there is another hill to climb. Now, last night when I was speaking, there was an Irish woman in the congregation, which I had no idea there was an Irish woman in the congregation. And anyway, I was talking about the difference between a hill and a brae. So in Ireland, if they tell you go to the top of the brae is different from the hill because a brae is like a bump in the road. So this woman, everybody's sitting here, you know, looking at me, and this woman's going, she's right, she's right, she's right. And I see this woman furiously nodding, and I'm thinking, why is she nodding? And I realized afterwards she was Irish. Anyway, a brae, you can sort of see a bump. You can sort of see where it's coming, you know, over the top. But as Irish people would say, don't make a hill out of a brae, and don't think a brae is a hill. So in other words, you've got to know when you're going over a wee bump versus you're climbing a big hill. And when you're climbing a big hill, you've got to pace yourself with a big hill. I'm climbing a big hill at the moment, so I'm trying to pace myself, make sure I'm not carrying too much extra baggage as I go. And I know it's not a brae, because if it was a brae, I could see the other side of it. But how many people know that when you're going through stuff, sometimes you just don't see the other side of it? You just don't. You can't see when an end is in sight, and that's when perseverance comes in. You know, I think Mandela was well acquainted by the words of the Apostle Paul, don't you? He knew what it was like to live a difficult life, probably one of the people on earth who actually could compare himself to the Apostle Paul. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for these amazing people in this room. And Father, I thank you that everyone will, in fact, go away with something today, not because of my words, but because your word accomplishes that for which it was sent. And I thank you, Lord, that all those that are persevering through humps and brays and hills in their life, Lord God, that you would help them. Lord, that you would be with them, that you would show them that you are indeed their strength and their source. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take a look at what the apostle says to the church in Galatia. I love that word, Galatia. It sort of sounds like, you know, intergalactic travel or something. I don't know. It's wild. And I last night I was saying, I can see myself walking around Galatia. And unbeknownst to me, I was informed after the service that, because I'm going to do the Camino sometime soon, no idea when, but I'm practicing. And apparently that whole province is called Galatia. So you see, I'm already seeing myself walking around Galatia. It's not the Galatia that Paul is speaking of course. But let's take a look. Galatians 6. We're going to read from verse 1 to 10. And again, I'm going to read on this occasion from the Message Bible. So you may not be able to follow it precisely in your Bibles. Galatians 6, verse 1 to 10. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Requires action. Share their burdens and so complete the law of Christ. Some people say, I just want to be in the will of God. I want to do what God wants. Well, you know, the Bible says that carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you're carrying someone's burden with them, taking it to the Lord, you can be sure that you are in the will of God. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. You know, some of the biggest problems that we have today is because people look at others and they want to be in that place. They want to be doing that thing. They want to be running in their lane. They think that by 30 they should be doing this. By 50 they should be doing that. By 60 they should be doing whatever. You know, the Bible says that he who compares himself with another is unwise. And if you want to be wise, don't compare yourself with others. Sink yourself in to what God has given you to do. Don't be impressed with yourself. You know, sometimes there is a moment, like after my cleaning, and I stand back and I see the glare. I have to put my sunglasses on and go, just look how I cleaned the sink. I do have glory moments, you know. But I am reminded not to be impressed by myself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. The creative best you can with your own life. Let me tell you something. There are mornings I get up and I look at that mirror and I say, you help me do my creative best. There's other days I look in the mirror and I say, take no prisoners. I say, what we share is in total confidentiality. Be very sure now, you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experience. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. Note I said weeds, not weed. Just be careful. Harvests a crop of weeds if they ignore the needs of others and ignore God. All they'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life. Eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of... Fantastic. Starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. You see, Paul was exhorting the churches in Galatia to not grow weary in doing good. Although, as you know, in Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that anyone can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Isn't it amazing to think that we are God's handiwork? Like, you know, I know how proud I feel of my handiwork. When I do something that's, you know, a little bit creative and fun, I'm quite happy with myself about it. And to think that God is pleased with his handiwork, you know, that's another great thing to look at when you look in the mirror in the morning. You just go, I'm your handiwork. I know you're pleased with me. It's a great encouragement. What else do we need when we know God's happy with us? Good works are highlighted throughout the New Testament and throughout the teaching of Jesus. And it's amplified loud and clear in Matthew chapter 25, where we hear about the sheep and the goats. It's well worth reading this scripture to you this morning. It just hits you between the eyes. You know, you've got to understand that as Bayside Church, we don't go eeny, meeny, miny, mo and decide what kind of ministry we're going to do. We are taking seriously and literally the words of Jesus. In Matthew 25, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you visited me.'" We find that's okay as long as they're not criminals in prison. "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' And he will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." You know, it's an interesting thing. Keith Green, in his famous words, said, "The only difference between the sheep and the goats, my friends, the only difference is what they did and didn't do." You see, we think of sheep and we think of these woolly things, because in Australia we grow sheep for their fleece. However, in Palestine, the sheep and the goats would be herded together and they would look very, very similar, and hard to tell the difference between a sheep and a goat. But the difference between a sheep and a goat is that a sheep will follow, but a goat is unruly and will go its own way. And, you know, how many of us have this idea of, you know, going our own way? And yet our gifts are meant to be used in community. God has designed us to live in community. Our Father chose to live in community in the Trinity. This is an example of how we are to live. We're called to live contributing to one another, to do good, to make this world a better place, and to fulfill the purpose of the kingdom. Bayside, we've got this. We've got this. We've got this concept of being Jesus' body on this earth. We've got many parts to that body, as you know. We're part of the one body of Christ. God is doing a great work, and he has selected you and me to be a part of it. I just think that's amazing. What a privilege to be in partnership with God to accomplish his mission on earth. You know, have you ever heard anyone saying, oh, he or she are on a mission? Well, let me tell you, let's not just be on our own missions. Let's be part of his mission. Let us be part of the mission. Let us work together. One of the saddest things I've ever heard when we were trying to help the two gentlemen on death row, and I remember speaking to one of the criminal lawyers, and he said to me, you know, the hardest thing is the church would have an amazing voice if it learned to sing the same song. He said they can sing different harmonies, but if they just sang the same song. And I tell you what, that caused me to weep. I cried over that. I wept over that. Let us at Bayside be singing the same song. Let us be singing according to his mission and vision for this world. You know, it's so important. I see so many people come unstuck because they run ahead of God. They choose their mission, and then they get disappointed, downhearted, and distraught, because instead of following, they're headed ahead, gone their own way, and then they're going, God, where are you? And he goes, I haven't moved. It's you that's moved. You know, and we've got to think about that. Sometimes when we wonder, God, where are you? You know, we have to think, who's actually shifted here in the relationship? We've all been given a spiritual gift, and each of us should use whatever gift we have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, not use others to serve our needs. You know, I've heard so many people talking about my gift has got to be, you know, has got to be used. Let me tell you something. The gifts I had 10 years ago are not gifts I operate in now. Gifts I operate in now are not gifts I had 10 years ago. Gifts can come, gifts can go. And the most important thing is that we understand that it's there to serve others. It's not there to serve us. Everyone, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, or gender, has at least one gift. Rick Warren describes our spiritual gifts in an acronym called SHAPE. Spiritual gifts, which is the S part, heart, what you love to do, your passions and your interests, and your abilities, your natural abilities, personality, and experiences. Now, the problem is that I actually love to sing, but the only gift that would bring to the church is everybody going, God have mercy, take her away. And I could say, well, I've got this gift. I can sing, you know. No, maybe I won't do it. I was nearly going to do it. I can sing, but it says do it according to your ability. Like, if I was to take over from Nicole here, I mean, that's just not right. It's just not right. I'd be going my own way, which nearly makes me want to burst out into song, you see, but maybe I just shouldn't. I'm going to restrain myself. Exercise the gift of the Spirit, which is self-control. Okay, abilities, natural abilities. Now listen, I will never be an athlete. Never. I'm flat-footed. So I don't have the natural bent towards that. Neither do I have the natural bent to be an introvert. That surprises some, I know. Your personality is the P part of SHAPE. So, you know, your gifts will generally fit in with your personality and your experiences. You know, there is something to be said about life experiences. Like when I heard Andrew read that scripture, Psalm 121, that has taken on a whole new level for me. Because when you walk 8 men to their definite death, and you have read several times to them you know, I look to the Lord, where comes my strength? My strength cometh from the Lord. And they want to finish their life while they're being volleyed down by guns, singing the praises of God, and they are determined to go through the gates of heaven singing. And I think whatever I am facing now is nothing compared to what people have faced. And so that scripture has taken on a magnitude to me now. Anyone who's been through any trial and they say, I look to the Lord, where does my strength come? My strength cometh from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. You know, you can say that is truth. That is tried and that is tested, you know, and that is my truth and it's God's truth. And so my gift, because of my experience, doors will open for me, opportunities will open for me, because I've had experiences that some of you may not have had. But, you know, we've got to make sure that we realize that opportunity meets with our availability and our abilities. Now, you know, I'm trying really hard at hinting, but, you know, I am not going to be offered to come up here and worship lead. No matter how much I think, and I could say, well, they're not giving me any opportunity to sing at Bayside. Well, thank God for that, some of you are thinking. And then maybe I did have a great voice, but maybe I'm going through a season in my life where, you know, I have to do other things. And so, well, I'm not available for worship practice, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And you know what? That's all okay. Boundaries have their place as long as they're not taken out of fear or trying to control situations. But if you say, I don't know what's going on in such and such an area or such and such an area, and then I say to you, well, have you been to the training nights? Have you been to the vision nights? And you say, no. Well, I think, well, then, you know, you've got to look at the opportunity, availability. You know, maybe it's just not clapping at the moment. Maybe it's just going a little bit like that. And that's okay. Just learn to kind of sit there and wait and realize that maybe, you know, maybe at the moment you're being a little bit like a goat. You're trying to take it your own way. You see, I couldn't help myself. And and the sheep are all going like this because they're scared of you, because you're bleating, you're baaing a different way from the general direction in which God has told us to go. So, you know, think about it. Are you being woolly or goaty? I don't know. Goaty. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with goaties, by the way. Goaties are good. Anybody got a goatee? That doesn't count as a goatee. That's almost Amish. Okay. You got to learn to evaluate your effectiveness as well. You know, you can think all you like about your gifts, but if you are not producing fruit, then you got to say, I'm maybe not really in the place right now. What are the fruits? Because the spiritual gifts that we've been given are actually, they're actually, you got to see something result from it. They've got a task attached to them. They've got an action attached to them. They're orientated towards seeing a positive result. And you can expect to see confirmation from others. Now, sometimes others are so shocked by what you've done that they'll say, oh, that's fantastic, because they're too embarrassed to say, that was horrible. So you need to listen to people who really have your best interests at heart. And don't be too touchy. You know, I've shared with you some of my experience of, you know, the difficulties of finding my place on the worship team. And so I'll just worship alone in my shower. And that's okay. Our gifts, talents, and abilities, and God help us, Shungo, please, please, make sure Nicole doesn't even do this as a joke. I just had a horrible feeling then. Maybe they're going to do this to me. No, I am now mature enough to realize that is not my gift, neither is being a ballerina. All good. Our gifts and talents are to be used wherever we are, at home, in our neighborhood, at work, or school, or in the church community. Remember, we are the church when we're gathered, and we're still the church when we're scattered throughout the week in many different parts of our society. Ministry is not just in the church gathering, it includes, but is much more broad than that. Each of us has got a unique gift and a unique task. I don't know if you remember, I mean, there's many of us here this morning, but I cannot forget Nana Trish, the little white-haired lady who used to bounce around and, you know, if you know, even though she was very ill, she'd just go, I'll get it, I'll do it. You know, she was just incredible, an inspiration. And she had the gift of worship, of welcoming, no, not the gift of worshiping, the gift of welcoming. And so where did we put her? On the front door. She welcomed people. She was hospitable. If your gift is hospitality, then have people in. Have them around. Don't make it difficult. Keep things simple. Buy a couple of pizza bases for $3. Go out. Tell people to bring some fun toppings. And make it simple if that's your gift. Now, if it's not your gift, don't worry about it. Leave it to somebody else. But we're all part of the body. We're all connected. And that's where the importance comes. You know, thinking about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that beautiful rhythm that moves between the three. It's the connectedness that is just so exquisite and so wonderful. And the connectedness of us is what makes us a community. We've got this, guys. We've got this. Paul says we will see a harvest, a reward, if we do not give up. If we consider that Paul's focus and dedication is to the greater good, to the message of the kingdom of Christ, the church, then we understand it in its capacity that he is primarily saying this. We are called to live our lives surrendered to Christ and his kingdom. When we do, our greatest joy is seeing the kingdom enriched and flourishing. And this is an expression of the church. You know, unfortunately, sometimes that scripture has been hijacked by people who want to use it for position or title or to get affluence or wealth. No, that scripture in its context is about building up the body of Christ. It's about seeing God's mission here on earth take flight. God's gift to us is our potential. Our gift back to him is what we do with that. Let me encourage you to carefully discern what your gifts are. Go through a process of discovering them, develop them, and then with the help of others, deploy your gifts. You can't deploy your gift, boom. You don't go, I've got this gift, here it is. I am God's gift to Bayside. Well, even thinking that is probably disqualifies you right there, because none of us operate independently. None of us. All of us are only as good as the sum total of all of us. If you are contributing already at Bayside, let me say thank you so much. If you're not, may I say, in the words of Mitsubishi, please consider. Finally, another important area to consider contributing in is our finances. The ministries of Bayside Church are funded by the voluntary tithes and offerings of church members. For those who give faithfully, all we can say is thank you. We could not do this without you. For those who haven't maybe taken that step of faith, again, let me invite you to prayerfully consider how you can be a part of that. You may be going through a season where you can't actively involve your gifts. You may be happy to support someone else to do something that we are doing. So I'd just like to ask you to consider prayerfully the things that I have spoken about.